Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Been a little while since we had the general manager of the club on the show. Of course, JJ Piccolo joined us throughout the baseball season. He joins us now on the 610, I should say 96.5, the fan hotline, out of habit. You know, that's it, kind of happens. JJ, good to have you on the show again. How things going? How's the offseason? I would say, did you have some time off, but you've been busy with winter meetings.
Yeah, we had a busy week last week, but winter meetings are always fun, and you know they're productive for us. So spent 3 days in Dallas and back home here now trying to work through the off season.
The rumor is that the GMs like to have a little fun down in the winter meetings. Are you a part of that crew?
I don't know what crew that might be. Couple social calls and then hang out in the room and spend time with our scouts in our front office.
I couldn't figure out exactly on this end how it works, but do you get the invite to all the players' weddings? Like, did you get invited to Bobby Witt Jr.'s?
No. I think, there was a couple weddings over the years I've been invited to, but that's one of those things. I think the players need to enjoy it and they don't want their bosses around.
So you're going to have to watch the photos on People Magazine like the rest of us.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I've been filled in. I've seen them.
All right. Well, let's get into what maybe has happened the last couple weeks in particular. And I remember last year, winter meetings, you know, there was some fans at the time where we're looking at what hadn't happened and people were getting antsy. And then ultimately, you guys, of course, make some moves later in January. Take us through what those few days at the winter meetings are like, though. Or how much is it just setting up maybe future moves that you guys could still be making here in the next couple of weeks?
Yeah, I think that's where the winter meetings have changed over the years. For a number of years, there was so much action during winter meetings. Trades were made. Free agents were being signed. I think teams are a little bit more meticulous now and spend more time in their decision-making process. So, you know, we had the GM meetings really the first week of November, and you lay some groundwork there, what you're thinking about your club, and then you go into the winter meetings. You continue those discussions, and now you know, as the free agents are signing, which is nice because it's earlier this year than it was last year, the free agents are signing, you can sort of see where teams are, you know, where they're going, how they're shaping their clubs, which should lead to better discussions in the coming weeks and months. So I think every offseason, though, it just has a little bit different rhythm to it. You know, last year we left the winter meetings. We had a lot of holes to fill, and, you know, we chose to go the reliever route initially, and, you know, over the course of, you know, what was this week last year, you know, we were able to sign a couple starters, a couple of relievers. Hunter Renfroe was in the mix by the end of the week. And then this year is just a little bit different rhythm to it, you know, and that's where we just have to be nimble and be able to work through it, keep thinking, keep challenging, keep asking questions internally and having the conversations with the other clubs just to, because they're, you know, where they thought they might be going in early November may change, you know, by the beginning of December or the beginning of January. So you just got to stay in contact with the other clubs and, you know, make sure you're on top of what they're thinking.
I know it's a moving target because it certainly is, but how close do you think you are to what your original plan was going into the offseason as far as, like, what percentage are you towards your goal of what you wanted the team to look like by spring?
Well, I would say we're 75% in the sense that we needed to re-sign Michael Wacha or a starting pitcher, and we needed a leadoff hitter. And those two things were accomplished pretty early. Now, you know, we're getting a little bit more specific in how we're trying to finish the club off. You always want pitching depth. If there's pitching available via free agency or through trade, we always have to look at that. You know, right now the left-handed side of another infielder is preferable, but it's more of a role than it is an everyday job. So really we're just, you know, putting those last pieces of the puzzle in place, and that's where we just have to be patient. You know, I at times you get frustrated because you want to know who's on your club and what the club's going to look like and just get into spring training. But I think this year we're going to be a little bit more patient to wait for that right player to become available. Or quite honestly, you know, in our situation, you know, we want some of these prices to come down, you know, when you're talking about a role player. So it's just, yeah, it's just a different feel to it. But to answer your question, the heavy lifting was done with Wacha and Jonathan India.
You mentioned waiting for price to go down. We know last year, ultimately, when you guys were able to sign, maybe I think it was Wacha, if I'm not mistaken, at that point, that was maybe a player that the price did come down, or you were able to at least go into John Sherman and see if you could extend it out a little bit to go, hey, this is a player that can really help our roster. Can we extend this out? Do you feel like you have that flexibility still? If let's say a player was available in January that maybe it's a little bit above what you guys were looking at, do you feel like you have the ability to still do that?
Yeah, I think we have the ability to do it, but where you want to be careful is it needs to be the right player and at the right price. Last year when Michael Wacha was still available, we had a really good sense of what he was going to sign for, and he was the right player for us. You know, the majority of our lineup is back, our rotation for the most part is back. You know, we're working from a different place this year. I think you want to be opportunistic, and if a player that maybe we're not seeing is available right now and you can go get him, and whether it's I'm talking about trade there, and the price tag's a little bit higher, but it makes sense for the club, not only in the short term, but the long term, that's the appropriate time to have those types of discussions with Mr. Sherman. So he's open-minded. He's always open to ideas. So I don't worry about that. But I like where our payroll is right now. You know, I think we're in a really good spot. We have a little bit of money to spend. We have a few smaller holes to fill. We should be able to manage that well.
Speaking of trades, the one you made, obviously, for Jonathan India a month or so ago meant you had more than one second baseman there for a while. Obviously, the reports are that both India and Michael Massey have offered to play left field for you. You had mentioned to us that Massey had offered that somewhere in the middle of the season. How quickly do you think, if you wanted to get him some time out there, how quickly do you think a guy like Michael Massey could pick up left field?
Well, he's a good athlete. I mean, that's I can only go off of past experiences, and the one that really jumps out was when Alex Gordon went from the infield to the outfield and obviously did it exceptionally well. But Michael, where it starts is, are they athletic enough to go out to left field? Michael Massey is athletic enough to do that. Now it's just a matter of seeing him in that spot. You know, one thing I'll mention that's a little bit different than Alex compared to Michael. Alex played on the left side of the infield at third base. So the reads that he would get, the bat path that he's following and the jumps he would get was more natural for him because it was the same as what he saw from third base. Where Michael, he's going to go from second base to left field, and that may play a little bit in, may affect his learning curve in left field. And by no means are we committed to Michael playing left field. We have to let this play out. We value the versatility in players. If Michael's able to go to left field and play out there because we want another left-handed bat in somehow and it makes sense for him to go out there, we want him to be prepared to do that. And the same thing can be said for India. We feel the same way about India and even Michael Garcia. All of that, the flexibility that those three players give us will allow us to put the pieces together. It's just going to take a little bit of time. We're going to need to see it in spring training, get comfortable with one or two of those guys doing those things. And once we get there, I can answer that a lot better. But I do think Michael has the ability to do it because he's a good athlete.
Does that mean you'll look at the India and Massey at third too? Just like super flexibility, right? Like, could they play five games at third or anything else,
Yeah. No question, because you guys watch this play. I mean, Q likes to match up. He likes to optimize, not necessarily just your starting lineup, but what do we have on the bench for a particular bullpen? So we may put lineups together according to that as well. But the more versatility you have, the better off you're going to be. Even mid-game changes you're making. You pinch hit, you pinch run, now you have to move somebody to another spot. The experience that they can gain through spring training in the first half of the year will be really valuable, for the back half of the season.
We're talking to the general manager of the Kansas City Royals, JJ Piccolo, here on 96.5 The Fan. Knowing how healthy you guys were for the most part as a team, and certainly when it comes to rotation, what can you do? How do you plan for what potentially could be, regression-wise, not even so much performance, but just health? Of course, you would love to be perfectly healthy in 2025, but that's usually not how this thing goes.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. It's something we're really aware of. When we reflect on the year and why did we have success, it always comes up in those conversations. Our starting rotation was healthy, and they were healthy all year long. So how do you prepare? It's depth in your starters. So you go Reagans, Lugo, Waka, Marsh, Chris Bubich, Noah Cameron. They're the ones, and I forget, Kyle Wright is coming back this year as well. So we're starting with seven deep, which is a good thing. Daniel Lynch is another person who could start for us. So count Daniel, it's eight. So you just have to have depth in the minor leagues as well. So most of those guys I just mentioned, if not all of them, are going to be on our major league team opening day. But who do you have in AAA that also can step in and make a start or two? So it's really... We have the quality. Now we're looking at quantity. If you're going to protect yourself against injury, it's the quantity of guys you have that can step in when needed.
Kyle Wright, is this considered, are you guys going to treat it as a rehab year? I know last year, Chris Bubich, it was July, I believe, before he was available really for you guys. And it was a rehab year. He was exceptional when he came back in the bullpen. Is that what fans should expect in terms of timeline or anything like that for Kyle Wright?
I think he's a little bit ahead of Chris. There's some reasonable expectation that he could be ready in April. Again, with him, it's going to be what's he look like in spring training, facing hitters, feel of pitches. I think we have to prepare ourselves that it may not be opening day. If it is, that's outstanding for us. But he would be handled quite differently because he's so far removed from his surgery and he's ready to go in the early part of the season, where Chris Bubich, it was the latter part of the season that he was going to return. So I think it's a little bit different, different injuries. So how guys respond between elbow and shoulder can be very different as well. But we liked where Kyle was at the end of the season in his bullpens, the velocity we were seeing. He was gaining feel of his pitches, so he felt good about it. So we'll be optimistic that it'll be ready opening day, but realistically, I think it may be a little bit into the season, and then, it's kind of just monitor as you go.
JJ, I want to ask you a couple of bigger baseball questions. I have openly stated, I think Alex agrees with me, I think baseball has to do something about the deferred money contracts. I think it's bad for the sport. Rob Manfred had said that the deferrals can become problematic. We see this money, certainly by the Dodgers and other teams, being handed out 10, 20 years down the road. Do you think that serves the sport? Does it put small market clubs like yours at an even greater disadvantage?
I think that it does. I don't think there's any question, especially when you see, how much is being deferred into the future years when you hit $1 billion. But what I will say is, the Dodgers have the right to do that right now, and who are we to say they shouldn't be doing that when they have the financial means to do it? But it does create a gap, and it does change the dynamics of the game, and it furthers the financial gap even more. But I can't get too consumed with that. As the leader of this organization, we can't get wrapped up in that. We know what our rules are, and we go by them, and we make it work. I mean, that's the challenge of this job, and quite honestly, that's what makes it exciting and fun. I don't work for teams that are deferring money, so I just try to stick to what we can do than worry about what they are doing.
I'm curious, what was your first reaction when you heard even the remote idea of something called the Golden Bat Rule?
I feel crazy about it.
As a baseball purist, I imagine that's a bit of a jump.
Yeah, and that caught us off guard. I mean, we had come out of meetings 2 or 3 weeks earlier talking about other potential rule changes down the road, which happens every year. There's always proposals, but that wasn't one of them. And then when I found out that was actually an old interview that was brought back to life, and it caused a stir, it made a little bit more sense to me. But needless to say, I wouldn't be too crazy about that. And there's all kinds of holes in that type of rule, but I wouldn't be too crazy about a rule like that.
Where is, like you'd mentioned, the starting pitching and the stuff that comes with it, where is your minor league system as you see it right now versus like maybe when you took it over or where it was before you guys went on the run in the early 2010s? Just where do you guys internally view your minor league system as far as how close it is to helping you regularly, either in trade or at the big league level?
Yeah, no, well, in trade, there's no question that it can help us right now. I mean, that's the question for us, right? How much of the future do you want to give up for this current team? If it's really impactful, sure, you got to look at it. But we have to think short-term and long-term. And a lot of guys that are in A-ball now or maybe even in Double-A that are 2 or 3 years away, they're a big part of our future because the team that we have right now is not going to be the team we have in 28 and 29. So we need to make sure we hold on to the right guys. Doesn't mean we won't make a trade, but our system is healthy. I mean, we have plenty of opportunity to trade any prospects we'd like to. If I had to say where's our strength, I think it is the depth of the pitching throughout the system. There's a lot of guys that are in Double-A that we think are pretty close. Some guys you got a taste of Triple-A that are pretty close. And then there's guys that are in A-ball that we're excited about. So the pitching is where we feel really good. There's a couple of big bats that we think are going to impact our big league team in the next, I'll say, 2 years, 2 to 3 years. One in A-ball, one in Double-A, and one that came out of last year's draft, in Jack Caglione. So, there's a few bats that we view as impactful bats that just may not be ready for the big leagues today.
Does he have the most raw power, big league or otherwise, in the organization?
Yeah, he does. Not to take away from anybody else, but it's different.
Freakish.
It's loud. Yeah. I mean, he'll miss hit a ball to the opposite field 420 feet. And it's just there's strength there that allows him to do that. That's how he's made. So he just got that natural power, but he's got a good swing. He's got a good feel for the strike zone. So it's not just the raw power. He was drafted because he performed with that raw power, drafted where he was drafted because he performed with that raw power. But it's legitimate raw power. It's as good as you'll see.
JJ Piccolo, general manager of the Kansas City Royals. Good to check in with you. Appreciate it. I'm sure we'll do the same thing next month.
Sounds good, guys. Happy holidays to you.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
I'm Tank Sinatra.
And I'm Investigator Slater.
And together we co-host a podcast called Psychopedia, which is a true crime podcast infused with comedy, making it a crimedy. Each week, Investigator Slater brings us a wild and thoroughly researched true crime case. I'm here to digest it all and react just like you probably are right there on the other side of the microphone.
Somehow, I've got to present each case with the detail and respect it deserves, while also cracking up at Tank's perfectly timed humor and thought-provoking questions.
Listen to and follow Psychopedia on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.